Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Yeah. You'll recall that a lot of study has been done recently concerning what are the things that make people most happy. And I've pointed out time and again that our purpose for discussing this is not quite the same as a self-help book. You see millions of these books in the bookstore, how to do this, how to do that. The goal here is a little deeper than that. What we understand is that happiness can help us become better Jews, better human beings, and smooth the way for us to becoming better followers of the God of Israel. So happiness is not an end in itself from this point of view, but rather a means to something which I think we'd all agree is the most important thing. And so we've relied pretty heavily on the work of social scientist Martin Seligman, who, among others, but he distilled the elements of happiness, and he said, if you get this down, you really can be a really happy person. He distilled them into a little acronym, PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Do you recall what P stood for? Positive emotions, he said, right? He says that you look at happy people and they just choose the positive. They just choose to see the cup half full. It's not that they're unrealistic. It's not that they're averse to seeing that life has its tragedies and complexities and things. It's just that they choose to experience positive emotions. So I won't talk a lot more about that because we've discussed it at other times, how that's meaningful in our context of our own community. But then P-E is the next one. PERMA is the acronym. You recall what E was? It's engagement. People who are happy tend to just be engaged in what they are doing. I'll give you an example here in our own synagogue. Every Thursday, the staff of the community meet together. And one of the things that we do is we always look back at the previous Shabbat service and we go, what could we have done better to help the community engage with what's happening? How could we do that? What are the distractions that we can help get rid of? What are the things that we can make more consistent and predictable without it becoming boring? You know, these are the kind of things we ask. What could we do better? So happy people tend to be engaged people. They love the flow. They get into the flow. And we've talked about that again, so I'll resist the temptation to talk a whole bunch more about that. Now, do you recall what R was for? Relationships. And what the experts have found, and we know this, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know a lot of this stuff, but the happiest people are people who really value deep relationships over time, If you want to grow old and be lonely and miserable, don't develop strong relationships in the community. Don't do that. But if you want to be a really happy person and that happiness carry you through even the challenges of getting older, relationships. You want to develop strong relationships. Okay. Now, the next one, it's PERMA, P-E-R-M. Do you recall M? Meaning. The happiest people are people who live for a meaning which goes beyond just their own survival and just their own physical equilibrium and whatnot. People who seek meaning. And you're here because you come from a place where meaning, doing something meaningful, and for us as a Messianic Jewish community, relating to the God of Israel and to our people Israel through time, not just over space, but through time, and seeing Yeshua as the diamond in the gold setting of that historic experience of our people that we enter into, there's lots of meaning there. And that's what we're all about. And I know that's true for many of you. Okay, so all of that by way of introduction. And now we're going to spend two messages talking about the A. And the A stands for this, PERMA, remember, P-E-R-M-A. The A stands for accomplishment. The happiest people are the people who are striving in a good way for excellence in the things they do. Now, I'm going to use some examples of people in our own community. Since this will be broadcast all around, you know, on the internet, I'm not going to use any last names. Let me ask you, when Kyle and Rachel practice 3 or 4 hours a day, do you think that their motivation is only to just get better for professional reasons, or do you think that they get a lot of happiness out of getting better at a Chopin or a Mahler or a Brahms piece of music? What do you think? It's a source of happiness for them. When our music group under Joe today led, and there were moments where there was such excellence, believe me, there is a joy in that, because happy people seek excellence in what they do, but in the right way, which I'm going to clarify for you as we go along. So I want to talk a little bit about how excellence works in one very specific area, and that is, I want to encourage you all and we all to become excellent worshipers. Excellent. You see, worship doesn't just happen osmotically. It requires some thought and an intentionality which says, I am going to worship in a way that brings me happiness because I am going to do it with as much excellence as I can. Now, this concept is found in our sacred literature, and I'm not going to quote, the Bible is the most sacred of our literature. You all get that. Let's not be confused about that. But we also view the time-honored texts of the Jewish people as having a certain level of sacredness and sanctity and revelatory quality in that it reflects the biblical worldview and biblical teaching. So I'm going to share from a tractate of the Talmud, which is commonly studied in synagogues in America during the summer. So I'll mention it here. It's Pirkei Avot. It's the most accessible of the sections of the Talmudic literature. And Rabbi Simeon says, be meticulous about the recitation of the Shema and the Abidah. Be meticulous. Don't just be casual about it. Get it right. And we're suggesting that getting it right, in part, is because happy people seek excellence, and we seek excellence, and we want to be excellent worshipers. The question is, are you most happy when you just sit back and just kind of let things happen, or are you most happy when you're engaged? Think about going to a Red Sox playoff game. How many games ahead are we? I think at least 6. 4.5? All right, it's gone down from 6. But still, all right. So some of us may be able to go to a Red Sox game. Do you enjoy it most when you just sit there with hands folded as the Red Sox score run after run, routing their opponents? Does that make you most happy, friends? Yeah? Not me. I want to yell and scream a little bit. You know what I mean? I want to get into it. I want to get into the flow of what's happening. And I want to become an excellent baseball fan for the 2 hours that I'm into baseball. The rest of the year, I don't even think about it. But that's another story. Point I'm making is you get into it. And you get into the rhythm and the flow of it, and you experience it. And there's a kind of way to do it, if you will. And we factor in different personality types and all that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, you're happiest when you're really involved, when you're involved. And the worship experience also, it doesn't happen just automatically, but to really experience the joy and happiness of worship, there's a certain excellence that we speak about. Now, I'm going to be very, very specific with you. I would like you to take out your siddur for a few minutes. Go get your siddur. You're sitting there with your siddur. And I want to do something I've wanted to do for a long time, but there's just never been the right forum for it. But today is the time. Have you wondered, when do I bow? When do I rise up on my toes? What's the right way to do things? Has anyone wondered that stuff before? Do you find yourself looking around the room for what people who you think know what's going on, what do they do? Sure. That's natural. It's good. The point here is that what you're seeking at some level is the kind of engagement, but also the kind of excellence in worship that allows the experience to be something that's meaningful and that you can connect with, and something that you really do feel makes God smile too. It's not passive. It's not just sitting there like a lump. That's not the Jewish way. So I'm going to turn to a few things, and I'm going to ask you to turn with me. We're not going to cover them all because we don't have the time for that. But we're going to cover a few things. I would like you to look with me at page 41. You're not going to get a cue about this from the text, but it has become our minchag, our custom here, if you will. Do you see Tzur Yisrael? Everybody stand up. If you can, stand up, up. I'm going to stand up. And what we do at Tzur Yisrael, get ready for this. We take three steps back, starting with our right foot. Ready? One, two, three. They got to be teeny steps because you got chairs around, right? That's at the beginning of Tzur Yisrael. Let's do it again. Go back to where you were. We go Adonai Yimlo Kleolam Vaed. Step back. Tzur Yisrael Kumavizrat Yisrael. Right. We're not going to do that now because we've done it already. Then on the next page we see Adonai Svatai Tivtach Vihi, etc. Adonai, you see what I'm talking about at the top of the page there, right? Do you see where it says there's an Aleph, and then in Hebrew, a vote, and then in the English, it says ancestors? Everyone with me? At that point, you've taken three steps back. Take three steps forward. Three steps forward. That's it. And you say, but that's such a little inconsequential thing. It's not inconsequential, because when your body agrees with what you're saying, you become part of, and here's an important phrase for you, you become part of the sacred drama that we enact every Shabbat morning. We, together, are in a sacred drama, the Sinai experience, punctuated with how we, as a Messianic Jewish community, see how Yeshua is the diamond and the gold setting of that experience. He was the one who walked with us in the wilderness. It's a whole story I won't get into. But the point is, we with our bodies engage the experience. It's not just watching Rabbi Nathan up front, or Phil, or Shlomi, or our other leaders. It's not watching. It's doing. And so, now you know, when this happens, and this is the way we do it, we take three steps forward. Does everyone see Baruch Atah Adonai, right? See that there? At a vote? Okay, take a look at it. Don't be passive. Get involved now. This is really important stuff. I wouldn't emphasize if it wasn't. What we do now, we go, watch this, Baruch Atah Adonai. Can we all do that together? Ready? Here we go. Baruch Atah Adonai. Let's do it again and say the words Baruch Atah Adonai. Say them in full voice. Ready? Baruch Atah Adonai. Now, let me ask you, didn't you experience that more deeply than just standing Baruch Atah Adonai? Right? Because your body is engaging the text. You're allowing your body and your heart and your mind to be in sync together. And with Jews all over the world, though there can be slight differences in the minhag of when to step back, that's not the point I'm making. That varies. But at this point, we have stepped up into God's presence in the Kodesh Kodeshim, this is the, we're in the holiest place now as we're in the Amidah. We're standing before God. At this point, we are approaching him and going, Baruch atah, blessed are you, O God. And it has a totally different feeling and tonality and totally different emotional connection, because emotions and thinking are all connected here. Take a look at the bottom of the page. Baruch atah Adonai, Magen Avraham Ufoked Sarah. Translated in our Siddur, O King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, blessed are you, O Eternal One, who protects Abraham and remembers, or the Hebrew can be translated visits, also pakad, to visit, or to remember Sarah. So here what we do is when we go, Baruch atah Adonai, Magen Avraham Ufoked Sarah. Let's try that. Baruch atah Adonai, Magen Avraham Ufoked Sarah. It's like a way of punctuating our obedience, our obeisance, our recognition of our creatureliness before the creator of the universe. That's what bowing is about. So from now on, you don't want to just stand there because you know what to do. And you do it together. And doing it together is an act of humility, because you're not a big shot. You're not standing aloof from the community and its norms to declare your independence. You are in sync and you're in the dance. You're in the dance. And that's what we're talking about here. Now, we're going to do a few more, not a whole lot, because it's too much to remember. But I would like you to turn to page 49. We are in the holy place. The ark doors have been opened. That means that we have that access to the very presence of God during this section called Kiddushah. It is the third of the blessings of the Amidah. And here, this is a very, very holy thing. Let me just point out a couple of things. Do you see the asterisks before the words Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? Do you see that? Or holy, holy, holy. When you see asterisks, that is an indication that there's something to do with your body. Here's what you do. The ark is open. We are in the Holy of Holies. Imagine Yeshua as the great Shliach Tzibor, the great cantor, leading his entire community, made up of Jews, the Jewish side, the non-Jewish side, and he's leading us, and we are in the presence of the King. And what we do now is we have bowed before God. Now we do this. Ready? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Let's all do it again. Everybody, ready? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Now let me ask you, what is, do you imagine, the meaning of rising on one's feet? I'm not talking about in terms of history or anything like that. I'm just talking about the emotional sense of connectivity. What does that act connect with? What idea to you? Closer to God. Good. What else? Breaking. Perhaps breaking chains. You're not held back. Good. What else? Climbing the holy mountain. Good. What else? How about God, I, as a matter of emphasis, you are holy, holy, holy. I'm not just standing there going, oh, cerebrally, I know you're holy, you're holy. Yeah, I said it, I get it, I said it, I get it. No, it's you're holy, you're holy, you're holy. Say it with me and rise up each time. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. You feel the room? You get the idea. This is a holy choreography. Talk to Cheryl about choreography sometime. This is a holy choreography. This is a dance, and it's corporate, and it's time-honored. And any shul you go into, this is what you do. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. I just want to point out two more, and then we're going to go to the Aleinu, and that's going to be it for today. We'll talk maybe more next week about this. Do you see the asterisk? Baruch Kavod Adonai Mim Kamo. You see it down the page. Blessed be the glory of Adonai throughout the universe. Everyone see that? Okay, let me tell you what you do. Here's what you do. You rise up once. Here it is. Baruch Kavod Adonai Mimkamo. Let's say it. Baruch Kavod Adonai Mimkamo. This is not quite the level of sanctity and profundity as the previous Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That is like a rubric which is so central to the Jewish experience. Don't have time to talk about it that much right now. It's us actually, well, I will say this. It's us imitating the angels. That's the whole idea. This is what the angels do. Kadosh, 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 they say in Isaiah. We now join the angels because we, with the heavenly hosts, we together are God's entourage, His family. Now, I want you to turn the page, and I want you to notice another one. Do you see at the top of page 51, Yimloch Adonai Le'olam? What do you do? There's an asterisk. One time up on your toes. Ready? Yimloch Adonai Le'olam. One more time. Yimloch Adonai Le'olam. I promise you, if you pay attention to this, next week when we get together, your experience of worship will be deeper and better. Your happiness will be more because to be in the presence of God with His people and the angels doing these things, wow! See, we're talking about happiness. And we're talking about the pursuit of excellence in worship, not just casual observers. We're going to close with one more, and that is the Aleinu. Page 93. And I want you to notice, you know, it goes, Aleinu l'shabeach la'adon ha'kol, etc., etc. I want you to notice, va'anachnu kor'im u'mishtakavim u'modim. Can we say that? You see it in transliteration right there. Va'anachnu korim u'mishtakavim u'modim. Now, what that means is, but we bend our knees, bow, and declare thankfully, etc., etc. This is our opportunity to thank God for His incredible blessings, which if you want to, you want happiness, you want to choose positive emotions. I mean, this is a great place to exercise that. What we're doing is getting our bodies to agree. Now, here it is. Va'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim. Then, at the word lifnei, which means before the face of, you don't want to be looking at the ground when it says the face of God, you're up. Now, let's do it together. Va'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim lifnei melech. Notice that we bent the knees here. That's what it says. We bend the knee. When we hear the phrase bend the knee, what words and ideas, why would you bend the knee? It's a sign of reverence. And didn't I hear humility? A sign of humility. In this passage, it's all tied up with gratitude, humility, and reverence. You want to get happy? You want to be happy, people? I'm really not kidding you here, right? You want to be happy? Live in the space of gratitude, reverence. And the third? Humility. Live in that space. Well, you say, well, how do I live in that space? I got to go to work. I got to take care of kids. I got to do this and that. And that's true. You can't always be in the space equally. But when you're here on Saturday mornings, you can be in that space. And here is one of those spots where you can feel it big time. And where the Spirit of God can say they're receptive to me. And when He can show up and really bring it to you. You get what I'm trying to do this morning for you? Okay. You didn't know when to, you wanted to bow, but you didn't know, when do I raise my eyes? Lifnei Melech, before the face of, from Panim, the face of the King. You can all be seated and we're going to finish up. I hope you found these exercises helpful. Maybe we'll do it more occasionally. But the main thing is, the main thing is the main things. Think of your time here on Saturday mornings participating in a sacred drama. It even touches how we dress, by the way. Okay, excellent worship, let your body inform your heart. Now, I want to share two quick cautions before we close, because I don't want you to get the wrong impression. First of all, there's a Hasidic story, which is about Yom Kippur, and it's about a little boy who was adopted. He didn't have any religious education at all. He didn't know how to worship on Yom Kippur, but he was a shepherd, and so he knew how to play his flute. And so at the Yom Kippur service, He shows up and everyone's doing the sophisticated liturgy, beautiful liturgy, but all he knows how to do is just play his flute. And people begin looking at him, but in the story, Rabbi Yitzchak says, "We owe our thanks to this young man. He finished his words and took the young boy with him to the front of the synagogue. You shall sit with me. You have saved our prayers." Why? Because as the story goes on, the rabbi says these people were not praying with their hearts at all. They were just getting it all right. Oh, they were big on excellence, but the heart was missing. This little boy brought us the heart and saved our prayers. The caution here is that excellence is not an only thing that we seek. Apart from the heart, excellence doesn't mean much. Now, we're going to be going for excellence in what we do, but we want to keep it in perspective that excellence without heart doesn't really work. But again, let's not lose the main point here. Seeking excellence, whether as a musician, a business person, a mother, a wife, whatever you are, and together when we're worshipers, seeking excellence and not being satisfied with mediocrity is very important. Rabbi Tarfon would say, again from Pirkei Avot, it's not for you to finish the work, but you are not free to walk away from it. Excellence is a journey. It's not like next week we get it all right. So I want to put that proviso in there, that speak that word of release to you, that it's not something you did just in 1 week, but you're on the road to seeking excellence. It's a process. It's a way to joy and happiness. The trick is to get into the game, and I want to encourage you all to get into the game. Shabbat shalom.
Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. May your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those who know your name and study your Torah for Messiah.